We begin the current daf Masech Tzivam, it's daf Nun Tes. We begin on the bottom of daf Nun Ches Mabez, three lines up in the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah from daf Nun Vav Mabez. There the Mishnah spoke about a Machlekes Reb Meir and Reb Lazar Reb Shimon regarding this halacha of what's called Mishtameris Labiyah Pesula. That is, if someone is just engaged to one of the Pesulei Kahuna, for example, Amon LeKohen Gadol or Grusha V'Chalitz LeKohen Hedyot. Now, just being engaged doesn't actually generally invalidate her because she never had cohabitation bia to make her into halala. So the question is, there the biblical halacha is that she already becomes kinyan kasboi, she's engaged to him, hence he has acquired her, and therefore he should be able to feed her truma. So the Blazer of Shimon hold that she could eat. May hold that you cannot in this state of erison, because of what's called mishtameris l'bibsula, she's anticipating invalidating cohabitation. So that type of acquisition would already give her that invalidated status. That was the first half of the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah continued, which our Gemara is quoting now, of Nis'armalu Ay Nis'garshu. If, let's say, this woman becomes an almana, she becomes widowed from this forbidden relationship, or becomes divorced, so then the Mishnah said that everyone's going to agree on the following two halachas. If it's what's called Minhan Issuais, that she really consummated the relationship, she got married to him, the second phase of marriage, which includes cohabitation, then she's going to be psula, she's going to be invalid. Reason is, she becomes a halala once she has a cohabitation with someone forbidden to her. However, if it's from engagement, so just from the first phase, then even Ramei would agree, although when she is engaged, then she's pasul for truma and kahuna, and the reason is because she's anticipating the whole purpose of engagement is to work towards consummating that relationship, so you're anticipating a bibasula. But if you were just engaged and now you're not anymore, so you're not anymore anticipating that forbidden relationship, and you never had cohabitation to make you into halala, even your mayor would agree that now she'd be ksher l'kuhana. That's the halach of our Mishnah. Now, the Gemara will ask a question that will come in relation to this halach. The Gemara brings as follows. B'yimenei Reb Chiya bar Yosef Mishmol. He asked them the following question. Kohen Gadol shekidish es haketana. The high priest, the Kohen Gadol, that gets engaged to a minor girl. Ubagra tachta. Now, during the engagement period, she becomes what's called a begeris. A begeris is a girl that's 12 and a half years and older. Now, as the Gemara will shortly illustrate on the coming daf, that a Kohen Gadol is forbidden to marry a begeris. Rather, it has to be either a katana, a minor, or a nara, which is between the age of 12 and 12 and a half. But begeris, he's forbidden. So the question, the Gemara continues at the top of the Testament Aleph, is Mahu. What would the halacha be in such a case, where when they got engaged, she was still under 12 and a half, but before they got a chance to do nisuin, she became a begeris. So the Gemara explains the question as follows. Do we say, basa nisuin azlinan, that we go with this halacha of begeris being forbidden to a kohen gadol? Is that based on the phase of nisuin, and therefore since she became a begeris before nisuin, she's forbidden to him? Or maybe we go based on erison, therefore should be permitted to him because they already had erison engaged before she became a begeris. So Amalei, so Shmuel responded to me, says, Tinesua, this is what we learned in our Mishnah that we just quoted the halacha from the Mishnah Daf Nun Vav. The Mishnah said that nis'amlo in nis'garshu, these women that are pasul to kahuna, whether it's an aman l'kohen gadol or grush v'chalitz l'kohen hedyot, if they then are removed from that forbidden relationship by being widowed or being divorced. So then the Mishnah said, and everyone agreed to that min hanisuin besulais, if they had been married to that forbidden kohen, then they're going to, now, once they're removed from that relationship, they're pasul to kahuna. And the reason is, once they had nisuin, they already had cohabitation, they become a halala, which is forbidden to kahuna. But min erisin kasheris, but if it's only that they were engaged to that forbidden kohen, now that they get removed from that, they're actually permitted. So you see that the qualifying factor of being considered a psul kahuna is based on nisuin, not erison. And the proof is from the fact that when you have an amana that's engaged to a kohen gadol, or that's generally considered psul kahuna, that's an invalidating factor. But when the kohen gadol dies, we say that if it was just an erison, she's permitted now. Obviously, that means in our case, the begeris would be forbidden because the factor is based on, we define these psulim reaching the status of nisuin, because we see when there was with Eris and Samon L'Kohen Gadol, which that's a forbidden relationship, that should make her a halala, because she's an almana, she should be forbidden for any kohuna now. And it doesn't, because the state of Erisin is not enough to invalidate, and the qualifying factor is nisuin. So therefore over here, where she becomes a begeris, even though I was after Erisin, but since it's before Nisun, and Nisun is the defining factor, she would be forbidden. So he responded to him and says, no, it's not a proof from there. Because Lishavich Halala, regarding what you're proving from this Mishnah Daf Nun Vav, which is to create this psul of kuhuna, which is when there's a forbidden relation between a woman and someone of kuhuna status, which is forbidden, like Amalek and Gadol, that's to create her into a halala. That look at me boyly, that I didn't have a question. Because what creates a woman into halala? That's a forbidden cohabitation. So of course I agree that their erison is not going to be a significant factor. And if she gets widowed, and Amalek and Gadol from just erison, of course everyone's going to agree that she's permitted, but not because that's the qualifying factor in general for defining psulei kohuna. It's just because there the idea is basing on her becoming halala, and that's only with cohabitation, which is after Nisuan. Kikim Mibayli, my question was, how do you define this pasuk in Vayikra? Where that's the halacha that I asked you regarding a begeris, which is regarding the woman's besulim, her virginity. That it says in the pasuk Behu and the Kohen Gadol, Isha bibsuleha yikach, should take a woman, and that's a virgin. Now, that my question was, how do you translate that pasuk? Kicha de kedushin be'ina, when it says to take her, does it mean the taking of kedushin, of erison, the first phase of marriage? A kicha de nisun be'ina, or does the kicha mean that of the second phase, that of nisun, and therefore she would not be valid? That's my question. And therefore, you can't bring a right from the Mishnah Daf Nun Vav, which is talking about a different halacha of becoming halal, which, yes, that's only after Nisun, when there's Bia. So Malisa Shmuel responds to him. He says, okay, fine. Honami to Nisun, that's also a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah on Daf Samach Aleph and Aleph later on. It says that Iris is Almana. If a Kohen gets engaged to a widow, which is a valid marriage, only Kohen Gadol is not allowed to, but then when Nisman Ali is Kohen Gadol, then, during his engagement, he gets appointed to become the high priest. Now, that's a problem because a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an Almana. So that the Mishnah says, Yichnais, he could consummate the relationship and he can go ahead and do Nisuin to her. Now, obviously, Shmuel is saying that you see that what do we base these halachas on? We base it on the time of engagement. And therefore, at the time of engagement, that was permitted because it was a Kohen Hedget. So now, although he's become a Kohen Gadol, that already the qualifying factor is Erison. And hence, that would answer your question regarding Begeris. If she was engaged but during the time when she was a Nara or a Katana, and then they only get married at a later point in time and she's ready to Begeris, it's okay because it goes based on Erison. So I think Gemara rejects that Raya too. Because Shani Hassam, that halacha is different regarding regarding an Amona. Because the Chassid, it says there in that Pasuk, Yikach, it says over there, Isha, meaning it says regarding the Pasuk that says that what's forbidden for Kohen Gadol to marry Almana, it says Almana, lo Yikach. The Pasuk there says, Ki im besulah me'amav, but rather it should only be a virgin from his people. Yikach Isha, is that what he should take for a woman? Now, that term Isha, it seems extraneous, and from that the Gemara later on, Daf Samach Aleph, learns that if he gets engaged to an Almana, precisely for this case that the Mishnah is teaching, and he's only a Kohen, but then later he gets appointed to be a Kohen Gadol, he could go ahead and consummate that relationship. Because that's actually what the extra word Isha is coming to teach you, that although a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry Almana, but Isha is saying that if he was a Kohen Hedget, and then after Erisin he became a Kohen Gadol, that then he could go ahead and marry her. That's included in Kim Besula Mi'am of Yikach Isha, that there's another woman that's being included who he could take. That's talking about this specific case. And therefore you can't bring a Raya to a Begeris, which doesn't have that Riboy, that extra inclusion in the Pasuk. And that the Gemara asks, what do you mean, Hachanami? So why don't you say the same logic for Begeris? Ksevisha, it says a woman. In other words, if the time when you're getting engaged, you're just, let's say, a Kohen Hedget, or it was permitted that she was, let's say, a Nara, and then later afterwards, before Nisun, she becomes a Begeris, same logic you're saying regarding if then he becomes forbidden Namana because he becomes a Kohen Gadol, it should be permitted. I think Mar says, you're right, it seems like the same Svara, but achas, you really could only include from that one term Isha, which is singular, one extra halacha, b'leishtayim, and not two. So the Gemara says, okay, fine, but Umar Isa, where did you see to differentiate? Why did you see fit to include this case of when it was permitted at the time of Erisin because he was a Kohen Hedget? And therefore, although now he becomes a Kohen Gadol, he's permitted to do Nisun with the Almana, maybe say it's coming to include the case that we're asking here with Begeris, that since it was permitted at the time of Erisin because she was a Nara or a Katana, then although before Nisun she becomes a Begeris, that's included from Isha, that you could go ahead and consummate that relationship. Nothing more says no. Ha, by the case of Begeris, Ishtani Gufa, her body changes. She goes through a certain maturation period, which is what Begeris is. And that's during the phase of Eris into Nisun. And therefore, that would make sense to say that maybe that would not be permitted to go ahead and consummate that relationship. But for her, regarding the case of Almana, lo yishtane gufa, her body doesn't change. Her status in halacha might change. And therefore, that would be the one that would most closely resemble what we would include that would be able to be consummated. And therefore, the Gemara has not resolved the question that was posed to Shmuel. What is the halacha regarding a woman that was in the valid age bracket for the Kohen Gadol? She was a minor. And then before marriage, they had a long engagement. Let's say she became a Begeris. What would be the halacha? Would he be permitted to consummate that relationship or not? Are we basing it on Erisin or on Nisun? Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah regarding what's called Psuli Kuhuna, those women that are invalid for Kuhuna and the specific variables. So the Mishnah tells us, Kohen Gadol Yisamon, that's a pasuk in the Torah, Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a widow. Now that the Mishnah qualifies, Bein Almanah Min Erisin, Bein Almanah Min Nisuin, whether she was widowed from just being engaged, which is halachic engagement, not what most people today's day do engagement. In other words, when the kedushin was done, or whether she's widowed from nisuin from when the second phase of marriage was done. And another halacha is, well, yisas a begeris, he's not allowed to marry a begeris, which is a girl that has reached already the mature age of 12 and a half. Whereas Rabbi Shimon, they argue, they machshin be begeris, they say that a kangol is permitted in a begeris, and the Gemara will explain the reason for this machlekes. And the Mishnah concludes, V'lo yiseis mukas eitz. A Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a woman that, which means literally that was hit by a piece of wood, meaning to say that a piece of wood was stuck in the place of where her virginity is. But the main idea is that although it penetrated her, but it wasn't through a man, and therefore that's the qualification of what's called mukas eitz. And that the Mishnah is saying also a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry. Now, related to our Mishnah, the Gemara brings the following Braisa. Torah Rabban, we learned in the Braisa, the Pasuk in Meyukah that talks about a Kohen Gadol says, Amonu lo yikach. He's not allowed to take in marriage a widow, so the Braisa qualifies as our Mishnah does. Bein Amonu min Erisin, whether she was widowed from engagement. Bein Amonu min Nisuin, whether it's from Nisuin. That the Gemara asks, which is a question on our Mishnah too. Pshita, it seems to be pretty obvious. The Torah tells you, you're not allowed to take Amonu. So, she's widowed, whatever you widowed from, whether you widowed from engagement or marriage, why should we think to differentiate? So the Gemara says that Ma'adud Tema Leilif Almana Almana Mitama. We would have thought that we have another terminology in the Torah which says Almana, which is regarding Tamar, where Yehuda told the Shvi Almana, stay here in your widowhood. Now, so we would say Malahal Min Nisuin, just like over there, she was married to his first sons, and when it says that she was widowed, it's from Nisuin, so Avkam in Nisuin, so also maybe we would have thought to say that we see that the term Almana in the Torah means from marriage, hence when it says a Kohen Gadol cannot marry Almana, it would mean from Nisuin. K'mashmon, that's the Chiddush that the Braisa and our Mishnah is teaching, that's even from Erisin. That the Gemara asks, that's a good point. Ve'imachanami, maybe say that actually that you should learn from Tamar, and it's only from Nisuin. But the Gemara says that no, the reason for our halach is because dumi degusha. We actually compare it to the other halacha that the pasuk says there in the parasha regarding what's forbidden for kahuna. It says that he's not allowed to marry a divorcee, and hence we compare it ma gerusha, just like it by a divorcee. That's obvious that it says no matter what you divorce from, because there you can't say the same svar we said regarding almana, that to think maybe you would learn it out from tamar because you don't have such a terminology elsewhere in the Torah that illustrates that, to think that it would only be a grusha from Nisuin. So hence, just like by grusha, where it's obvious that if she's divorced, no matter if it's from Nisuin or from even engagement, and therefore, Beimin and Nisuin, Beimin and Erisin. So, Af Ba'amana, Beimin and Erisin, Beimin and Nisuin. So we learn out, not from a different term somewhere else in the Torah, but here in that same pasuk, when it's saying what's forbidden for the Kohen Gadol to marry Almana, it says also you're forbidden to a grusha. Hence, just like Grusha is for both, so Talmana is for both. Now, our Mishnah then said, Amachlaikas. The Tanakhama said, V'layisa es a begeris, that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a begeris, a woman that's reached 12 and a half, whereas Lazar Abshim argued, they say that permitted. So the Gemara brings the source for their Machlaikas. And in that Machlaikas comes out another Machlaikas. Tarbar within the Braisa. The Pasuk tells us regarding Kohen Gadol, V'hu isha biv suleha yikach, that he should take a woman that's still in her virginity. Now, prat lo begeris, that will exclude, and this is the opinion of the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, which is Remeah, that excludes a begeris. And the reason is, shekolu lo besuleha, that her virginity is not as intact as it is when she's a minor. And therefore, the pasuk is coming to exclude a begeres. Divrei Rav Meir, that's the opinion of Rav Meir. Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon machshim begeres. No, they say that it is valid, a kohen gadol for a begeres. So the Gemara says, but my commitment, exactly what do we see in this pasuk here that they're arguing regarding this halacha begeres? So Gemara explains, Rav Meir Saver, he holds as follows. Bisula. Had the Torah written, v'hu isha besula yikach, which that seems like how the pasuk should have said it. It should have said, v'hu isha besula yikach, he should take a woman that's a besula. Now, had the Torah said that, we would have said, afila mixas besulam b'mashma. That would have sounded like that whatever virginity she has, whatever, even if there's just partial besulam there, that then that would be included in considering her besula, which that would have permitted a begeris, who still has a partial of her virginity. But now that it says, besuleha, har besulim, oh, that sounds like that adi iko kala besulim, until you have all the besulim, which that is coming to invalidate, to say that it's possible for a begeris, because a begeris does not have all her besulim. And therefore, that's the source that he says from the extra yud, besuleha, that's coming to exclude that, no, you need all the besulim. And therefore, a begeris is possible. Now, another halacha, it adds on, besides the yud, to say, make besuleha, it also says bivsuleha. That's the extra base starting off in her virginity. Now, what that sounds like is that we're saying that it has to be that this halacha that we're talking about is relative to her makam besulim. What that means is, bikedarka, if she had cohabitation in the natural way, Then yes, meaning then she becomes invalid for a kohen gadol. Meaning to say that her virginity has to be intact in where her virginity is, meaning in the normal place of cohabitation. Now, however, but if the bia, if her cohabitation with someone else was in an unnatural way, then she does not become pasul to the kohen gadol. And that is, to make a woman that had unnatural cohabitation, You can't say that that's what the pasuk is coming to teach you, that no, you need to have all your besulim intact, and hence, if you just said you need all your besulim intact, as we said, that was what besula comes to include, hence, we should even say that shaloi kedarka, even the unnatural way, is somewhat removing some of her intact virginity. On that is what the Remei is coming to teach us, that no, because if it would have just not said the extra bays, we would have already known that if you have to have all your besulim, which Remei is saying is even excluding a begeres, for sure we would have excluded unnatural cohabitation, which is even having some type of a relation. And therefore, if the pasuk is saying an extra letter of bivsuleha, must be that it's coming to exclude it from the psul. In other words, that it's coming to say that it actually a biyash lekadarka is going to be mutter, it will not invalidate this woman from now marrying a kohen gadol. Those are the two chidushim of Rav Meir. Whereas Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon Savri, they hold that no. Had the Torah written besula, they would have learned that besula shlema mashma. That would have sounded like that no, she has to be a virgin, it has to be intact. Hence, that would have excluded the begeres, because by her it's not intact because of her maturity. Now that it says besuleha, so they're actually darshaning the other way. That means to say, vafila mixa besulim. Obviously, if you're saying different terminology, must be that it's coming to say that you don't need all of it. Even partial besulim is okay, hence that's including a begeres, that as their opinion is, that a begeres is kasha. Now when it says bivsuleha, which again is an extra base, it sounds like that it's saying that the besulim have to be achiyu kol bisuleha kayamin, until all your besulim are intact. In other words, you didn't lose any of your besulim through any type of cohabitation, meaning, whether that cohabitation that you had prior to what you want to have this relationship with the kohen gadol was in the natural way or in the unnatural way, either one of those will be considered in removing part of the woman's virginity, and hence she would be puzzled to kohen gadol, even shaloi kedarka. And essentially, this is the same thing as what Remeir's chronology was, just in the other way around. And it's all starting because how you define besula. He darshan besula sound like even partial. Hence, besuleha is saying that, no, you need all. But then when the extra base comes to remove something from that, says, okay, but although we would have included Bishlei Kedarka in that problem, but that we're removing that from saying that the extra bays. Now, Rabbi Elazar Shimon are doing the exact opposite, that since we're including from Bisaleha that you don't need all the Bisulim, and therefore a Begeris is permitted, so now you need to make, so you wouldn't know that Bishlei Kedarka would be forbidden, because maybe it would be also permitted because you don't need all your Bisulim, hence if you had removed it in the unnatural way, so then you maybe would still be permitted, and that's what you need, the extra Bisaleha, that no, in Har Bisulim, no matter where that virginity is, it will be a psul if there was some act of cohabitation, even Shalai Kedarka. And therefore we have two machlekes in between Rabbi Elazar Shimon and Reb Meir, again, obviously starting from the same point, but the ramifications are both in is Shalai Kedarka a psul and is Begeris a psul, and each one will hold the other way on that halacha. Now, regarding this machlekes, Rabbi Yehuda Merab, he says, Nivela Shalai Kedarka, if a woman had unnatural cohabitation, Psulakuna, she now becomes invalid to marry Kohen Gadol, who the Kohen Gadol is commanded to marry a Basula virgin. And on that, Rabbi Yehuda is saying in the name of Rav, that she now becomes Pasul, which obviously is like Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, who hold that Bishlei Kedarka is a Psul regarding a Kohen Gadol. However, as Rashi points out, obviously, regarding a Kohen Hedit, even if she had normal cohabitation with another man, that then she would be permitted still to him because there's no reason to invalidate him because the Kohen Hedit does not need to marry a Basula. And moreover, she does not become a Zayna, a harlot, by having just relations with some man, because that's only if it's someone that was Asur Tahar, in other words, someone like a Mamzer or a Nasan, but a regular Jewish man, although obviously one is not allowed to have that, but that does not make her Pasul for Kohen Hedit. We're talking about Pasul to Kohen Gadol. Now, that halach of Rav Yehuda Merav, the Gemara says, the Masa Rava, Rava asked the question from the following brisa. It's a pasuk in Devarim that talks about if a man violates a Nara Besula, a young girl that's a virgin. So the pasuk says that Valesila Isha, he has to go ahead and marry her as a woman now that he has violated her. Now, the brisa darshins, when it says, and now that for him he has to take her as a wife, it's Be'isha Haru'uyala. It says, and to him. What do you mean, and to him? Meaning it has to be a woman that's fit for him. What does that come to exclude? Prat la'amana, that excludes a widow, in other words, widowed from Erisin, because we're saying in the Torah that she's still a Besula, she's a virgin. Once there's Nisuin, then she's not a Besula anymore. Stormat, a woman that was widowed from engagement. Now, the one who was violating her was L'Kayin Gadol, was a Kayin Gadol. So he had violated a Besula that was at one point engaged and that was widowed from that engagement. Or it's talking about Grusha v'chalutza, again, that was either divorced or had chalitza done from just a state of gerish, of erison. Again, because we're talking about in the Torah that she's a besula. L'kohen hedit to kohen hedit, which these are relationships that are forbidden. So therefore we say, if there's such a case of a violation, then that would not be the halach of the Torah of L'si L'isha, because it's not a woman that's fit for him. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, which is the conclusion of Rabbah's question, hey chidami. Exactly, what is this cohabitation that was forced on this woman, where you had that this Kohen Gadol went and violated this girl that was an almana from Erisin? What exactly is the case? In other words, Ilem Bikadarka, if he violated this woman in the natural way of cohabitation, well then, my Irim Misham Almana, why is the Brisa saying that, oh, here the halacha would not apply by regular case of Oinus, where it says, V'leisi Le'isha, because it's only someone that's fit for him, and here it's not fit for him because she's a widow. Anyways, she'd be forbidden, not because she's a widow, but because she is a woman that had cohabitation already. She's not a virgin anymore. And as the Brisa, the Gemara even brings on Ahmed Beis from a Brisa, that even if it's the same woman that he violated or he seduced, the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry her, because when he's coming to get married to her, she's already a Be'ula. She's not a Besula anymore. So obviously it cannot be told that when he violated her, it was in the natural way, because then forget about the fact that she was a widow from beforehand, in the case of obviously being engaged, because then she wouldn't be the Besula that the Torah says. If he's violating her in the natural way, she's a Be'ula now, and that's why it's not raw for him. So Rava says, must be the Brisa's Tomara case of Shalai Kedarka. The one who's violating this Nair Besula did it in an unnatural way. Now, and therefore, what do you see? Umishum amana in that, yes, meaning she was widowed once before, and that from, even though it's from Erisin, so that would still consider her an amana. But mishum be'ulalai, we see that by her having unnatural cohabitation will not make her not anymore besula, and that will make her be'ula. So obviously not like Rav's halacha was trying to say, that a woman's cohabitation in shaloi kedarka, in an unnatural way, will not remove her from the status of besula. Because obviously it's from the braisa that she's only going to be an almana, and although she's being violated right now, will not make a problem of her being considered a non-besula. So on that, the Gemara continues on Talmud Beis, that the Gemara says, no, you can't ask from that braisa on Rab. Because Hamani, who's the Tana that braisa? That's Reb Meir here. We just quoted a braisa before that had this machloikis between Reb Elazar and Reb Shimon and Reb Meir. Now, the opinion that you're asking on Rab from is the opinion of Reb Meir that he said in his interpretation of the pasuk of Besulaha, which is until all the Besulim are intact, which he learned that that excludes Bageris. And therefore, so he said, if that's what Besulaha is teaching, so Bivsulaha is excluding that if there's unnatural cohabitation, that then she's actually permitted. And that's as the price you're asking from. But Varav Dama, but the halacha that Rabbi Huda just said in the name of Rav, that she becomes pasul, is going to Krebelazah. It's like Krebelazah. He said a different interpretation of that pasuk. He said that no, Besulaha comes to say that all you need is Miktsas Besulim, which actually that comes to permit a Begeris, which still has some virginity. And then Bivsulaha comes to say that no, it's coming to possible to invalidate when there is unnatural cohabitation that should become possible, and if you can, that's from that price. So that's going according to Meir, and Rav is going according to Belaza. That the Gemara asks, Ikra Belaza, if Rav is going like Belaza, but then you have a question. My area, what is Rav accomplishing by saying that a woman that has unnatural cohabitations with another man, if she wants to get married to Kohen Gadol, she cannot. And the reason is, he says, because she's considered mishum be'ula. She already is considered non-besula already. She already lost some of her virginity in the unnatural way. And that the question is, typically the havila zayna, forget about that. She'll have a whole different set of problems because she's a harlot. And therefore, as Rashi points out, not only will she be forbidden to a Kohen Gadol because she's not a Besula, she's a Zayna, which a Kohen Hed is not allowed to even marry. Because the Amr Belaz, Reb Elazar is on record as saying later on Nav Samach Aleph, Amr Beis, that he says, Ponui ha-bo ala panuya. If a single man has cohabitation with a single woman, Shaloi l'shem, Isha is not for intention, I mean, Bia is one of the ways of acquiring a woman. It wasn't for that, they just wanted to have relations. A so'o Zayna, that makes her into a harlot, it makes her into a Zayna. If she's a Zayna, which she's having unnatural cohabitations with this man, so why do you have to say that it's because of a ba'ula? If it's going like Rebbe Elazar himself says, she's going to be a problem even as a Zayna, and hence it's not just for a Kohen Gadol, which is what you're pointing out by not being a Besula, she'll be considered a Zayna. Some of Yisus says, that's not a question, because Kagoyin Shenivalil Behema. Although Rav's going like Rebbe Elazar, it's talking about a case where she actually had cohabitation with an animal. The Hasa Mishum Be'ulik, where there all you have is an act of cohabitation, but Mishum Zayna Leka, but that does not make her into a harlot, as the Gemara later on will learn on this Amid, that there's no what's called Znus for Behema, an act of cohabitation with an animal, even if she does it all the time, cannot make her into a Zayna. There's no bestiality, does not create a status of a Zayna, and therefore that's why this Halach of Rav was saying that in the unnatural way, with an animal, will make her a non-besula. However, will not make her into a Zayna because it was not with a man. Now, that on Abaya asked on this interpretation of Rabbi Yezu. He says, Mimanashuch, I don't understand. Iba ulahavi, if you're saying that bestiality will be considered an act of cohabitation, well then Zayna namahavi, that should also make her into a harlot. Vi Zayna lahavi, and if it's not going to make her into a Zayna, which it doesn't, then ba'ula namahavi, then she shouldn't even be considered an act of Bia. And therefore, my question is back, then she should even be permitted to a Kohen Gadol because it does not make it into that you had unnatural cohabitations because you didn't have anything. What is this? It's not an act of cohabitation. It wasn't with a man. Now, the Chitim, if you're going to tell me that no, that essentially what happens is that when you have be with an animal, it's no worse than what happens if a piece of wood gets lodged. That is because Reb Elazar is on record himself in our Mishnah that says that lo yises mukas eitz. A Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a woman that had that was penetrated by a piece of wood. Now, maybe you're going to tell me that mukas eitz will apply as other halachas of making a woman forbidden, even by shalei kedarka, even in an unnatural way, as Reb Elazar is on record as saying that shalei kedarka is a problem. So just like mukas eitz the problem even in the makam besulim, so maybe it would be even in an unnatural way, which therefore you want to say would be the same thing that would happen to a behema. Well, imkain, if that would be the case, that you want to say that by behema, all you're going to have, let's say, is bia, but it's not going to be znus. Now, what are you going to answer me? I asked you, what do you mean? If it's a bia, it's znus. If it's not a bia, it's not a znus. So you can say no. You're right. The bia, let's say, the cohabitation of an animal is not, quote, a bia. It's not cohabitation. But it's no worse than if a piece of wood was lodged in. Now, a piece of wood was lodged in, we see that that is a problem. It does remove virginity. It is a problem, mukas eitz, as we find by makam besulim. And hence, you would maybe want to say the same thing would apply shaloi kedarka, that even in the other place would also go ahead and remove the virginity as long as it's coming through some type of an object. Well, imkain, if that's the case, ein locha isha shekshei lekahuna. You're never going to have a woman that's permitted to a kohen gadol, because shaloi nasas mukas eitz al yedei tzro. You'll never have a woman that went to relieve herself and went to the lavatory, and especially in Talmudic times, they would go ahead and wipe themselves when they defecate with these little pebbles. Now, that automatically is going to penetrate her when she's cleaning herself. And hence, if you're telling me that any penetration, shaloi bimkoima, goes ahead and makes you into mukas eitz, which that's the case you're telling me, let's say by behema, where it's not znus, and hence it's not even a maisa bia, but it's no less than a mukas eitz, and mukas eitz invalidates her. So therefore, the same thing should be shalei kedarka, and that's the halacha that Rav was saying. But how can you have that? That means you'll never have a woman that's kosher for a kohen gadol, because not one woman did not ever wipe herself and relieve her, and when she relieved herself with some type of a pebble which goes ahead and penetrates. So that's not obviously not an option. So we're back to the question about, so what's the resolution of this halacha of Rav, even if you're saying that it's like Rebbe Lazar, but the question is, then it should even be tape clay for the problem of Zayna. So Elam Abzeir, rather Abzeir says that it could be like we proposed, that Rav is going like Rebbe Lazar, where the problem is going to be only of a Be'ula, which is in this case of Shalei Kedarka in an unnatural way, but it will not be a problem of Zayna, and neither would it be a problem of Amana or Gerusha. The case would be Togma Bim Me'enes. So in a case where you have a minor girl that was married off when, let's say, her father had died, by her brothers or her mother, where that's only a rabbinic type of a marriage. Now, the halacha is that the minor girl, before she becomes an adult, is allowed to do what's called miyun. She's allowed to refuse the marriage. Now, it's talking about a case where during that union that she had with this man, and that she was just a minor, he only had unnatural cohabitation with her. And then she refused the marriage. Now, there's no problem about znus, because that's only out of wedlock. This was a permitted relationship that was rabbinically sanctioned. Now, there's also no problem of being an almana or a grusha, because what actually miyun does, it doesn't say that you're divorced from him now. It just retroactively removes her from that marriage as if she was never married to him. Now, that's what Rav is teaching, that even in such a state where the only problem you could have is that there was cohabitation, that although the whole cohabitation was shaloi kedarka in an unnatural way, that will still make her possible for kohen gadol, that will be considered a non-besula, and that was the specific case that Rav was talking about, that bia shaloi kedarka will make her possible, and that you won't have, like you asked, that should be other problems, let's say, of zayna. Now, related to this previous discussion regarding bestiality, regarding an animal, the Gemara says, the Amar b'shimi barchia, he says similar like the svar, like the logic of Abaya. Says nivul lebehema, if a woman has a cohabitation with an animal, ksher lekohuna, that then she's kosher even for a kohen gadol, and that's because, like Abaya said, there's no znus for a behema, hence there's no cohabitation with an animal. Essentially, all she is what's called a mukas eitz, is as if a piece of wood just would penetrate her, and therefore, according to those that say mukas eitz is permitted, so too the same thing would apply to the woman that had cohabitation, that committed bestiality. Now, Tanam Halacha, similar in Abraisa, that Nivlo Lemisha Eina Ish, if a woman had cohabitation with someone that's not a man, in other words, an animal, that Afa Pisha Beskila, although bestiality, if there's witnesses and there was a warning that she actually gets stoned to death, but where there's no witnesses and there was no warning, then Ksheli Kuna, she's permitted to Kuna, even to Kangala, because that does not remove her from the status of being considered Besula. Now, a story that illustrates this halacha, the Gemara says that Ki Asar Abdimi Amar, when Abdimi came, he said that Maisa Beriva Achas Behislu. There was an incident where a certain girl in this place called Hislu, Shaisa Mechabedes Asabais, that she was sweeping the floor in the house, Ruva'a Kelev Kufri. Now, one of these large village dogs, which they would use these dogs to hunt animals, came and penetrated her Me'achareha from behind, in other words, in an unnatural way. And as Rashi points out, because had it been in the natural way, then there wouldn't be any worse. In other words, of course, it would make her invalid, like our Mishnah says, from a Kayan Gadol, because she wouldn't be any less than a Mukas 8, where whatever it is that penetrates her in the Mokim Sula makes her a puzzle. But here was in an unnatural way, and Rebbe said that she's kasher for kahuna, and Amar Shmuel qualified that. That means Ulu Kayan Gadol, even for Kayan Gadol, as we said, as the Gemara just brought from Rav Shimi, that because that's not considered a shame bia. And hence, like Abai had pointed out, that's not going to make her invalid to a Kohen Gadol. Now, the Gemara, however, asks a question on that incident. It said that Rebbe permitted her, which Shmuel qualified, even for a Kohen Gadol. So, but may Rebbe Kohen Gadol have her? Was there Kohanim Gedolim around those days to think that this girl is permitted to marry Kohen Gadol? But Rebbe was many generations after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, because he was the end of the Tanoim, and then he put it all together and created the corpus of the Mishnayos. Now, in the days of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, already the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, as the Mishnah tells us in Rosh Hashanah, that from the time of the destruction, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai instituted certain institutions, and only much later, many generations later, was Rebbe. So what does it mean he permitted her to Kohen Gadol that there was no Beis HaMikdash? The Gemara says, what he meant to say was, this woman is so valid that even for whether to be a Kohen Gadol, she be permitted him. That's how non of an act this cohabitation of the animal was. Now, related to this discussion, the Gemara brings Amalei Rava Mi, and the Gemara says, Mi Parzakya L'Ravashi. Says, Minoha Milsa D'Ramabanam, from where do we know this thing that the rabbi said, which we quoted earlier in the Gemara, that Ein's Nus L'Behema, that there's no, you cannot, a woman cannot become a harlot, even though she commits bestiality, which Abaya took it even further to say that there's no status of cohabitation with an animal. So the Chsev, because it says the Pasuk in Devarim, the Pasuk says, Loisavi Esnan Zayin, a person is not allowed to bring the gift given to a harlot, Umechir Kelev, and that which was switched with a dog, which the Pasuk there concludes in Devarim Chav Gimel Yotes, you're not allowed to bring such animals to Beis Hashem Lekecha, to the Beis HaMikdash, L'chol Neder, for any oath, Kisayav Beis Hashem Lekecha Gam Shneim, because it's an abomination of Hashem, your God, the two of them. In other words, something that was switched for a dog, even, I mean, if let's say you had a dog and he had a sheep and you switched it to get that sheep, or if let's say this was used as payment to a harlot, this sheep, it's disgusting, it's revolting, you can't bring such a thing as a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. Now we learn the Mishnah Temura, that what's if it's the reverse? Let's say it's Esnan Kelev. Now, like the Torah says of Esnan Zayna or Mechir Kelev, it's Esnan Kelev, a gift of a dog. In other words, if let's say a man tells a harlot, says, look, I want you to have cohabitation with my dog, and for that, I'll give you this sheep. So that's an Esnan Kelev. It's a gift given because of a dog. Or Mechir Zayna. Let's say it's exchanging, not a Mechir Kelev, not exchanging a dog for a sheep, but actually exchanging a harlot for a sheep. Someone had a harlot, and the other one had a sheep. It says, okay, I'll give you the harlot, give me the sheep. So on that, actually, the Mishnah says Mutara. Actually, these two items are actually permitted to the Mizbeach. The reason is Shinim, because it says in the Torah, at the end of that passage, Gam Shneihem, that it's an abomination of these things. Also both of them, which that's exclusionary, meaning Shnayim, these two, and not four. And that is, these other computations, these other types would actually be permitted. Now, but one thing you see from there is that from the fact that an Esnan Kelev is permitted, which is the case of when a man is telling this harlot, look, I'll pay you this sheep, but cohabit with my dog, that obviously that does not make it into an act of Iznus. Because if it was, then that would be essentially what the Torah forbids of an Esnan Zayna. And from the fact that the Mishnah is not considering that as Esnan Zayna, rather that's what's called the case of the Esnan Kelev. And therefore, we see that the act of the dog cohabiting with the woman does not create her into Maisa's Nos. And that's how we said that we know this idea that Ein's Nos Lebehema. Now the Gemara goes back to the topic we were discussing regarding women that are apostle to Kohen Gadol. So talking about the Brayse, and we mentioned this idea earlier, that anusas atzmai umefutas atzmai, if let's say the Kohen Gadol himself violated a certain woman or seduced her, lo yisa, he's not going to go ahead and marry her, the Kohen Gadol, because the pasuk says besuleha yikach, which means to say that at the time of kicha, the time of marriage, she has to be besula. And although it was he himself that violated her, but now when he wants to marry her, she's not a besula anymore. Now vim nosa nosa. The Bryce tells, however, that if he did go ahead and anyways married her, then it's a valid marriage. Now, anusas chaveru, mefutas chaveru, lo yisa, if this woman was violated or seduced by a different man, he's not allowed to marry her. Now, vim nosa, and if he did marry her, we have a machlekes. Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, he says, avlad chal. So in that case, the child that he would have from that relationship would be a chal. But chamayim avlad kasha cham agin, it said that the child would be kasha. Now, the Gemara goes to explain this brisa piece by piece. The first part was regarding anusas atzma or mefutas atzma, same nasa nasoi. If he marries her, it's considered married. Now, Amravuna Rav, however, he qualifies this and he says, however, umaitzi beget. However, we know that a Kohen Gadol has to marry besula. She's not a besula. She became a beula by him violating or having relations with her prior to their marriage. So he has to divorce her with a get. But then this that the Bryce is teaching, im nasa nasi, then what does that mean? What does it mean? If they're married, they're married. What does it mean you're married? You're not married, you have to divorce her. So Amar Vachab Yaakov, he says, what the Bryce is coming to include in that, to say that if you're married, you're married, as if it's okay, it's not okay, you have to divorce her. Levin, that's coming to teach us, that you won't have to pay the penalty that a man that seduces a woman normally has to pay. In other words, if regarding the case of seduction, that if she was seduced, what marriage accomplishes when we say if he's married, he's married, although what do you mean if he's married? You say you have to divorce her. It says that he doesn't have to pay the penalty that the Torah says. Because there's a halacha regarding a man that seduces a woman that he has to pay a certain penalty. But if he goes ahead and he consummates the relationship, he takes her in marriage, he doesn't pay the penalty. As it says in the Torah, imoin yimoin, if he refuses, then he has to pay. But if it's mar yimirena loy leisha, but if he goes out and marries her, then he doesn't have to pay anything. But Rashi does point out, but regarding the case of oinis, of rape, that would not be included at all, because there you always have to give the penalty right away, even if he marries her, as the Torah says in the Dvarim Chavbeis, but nasan isha sheichivim, that the man who laid with her has to give, and then b'leisi leisha, you actually have both of them, that you have to pay and you have to marry. But the nafkamina that we're saying, although yes, you have to divorce her, so what do you mean if you're married, you're married? It means to say that by marrying her, although it was forbidden because she's not a besula, it's considered married, hence you don't have to pay the penalty of the halacha of mefuta, but then you have to go ahead and divorce her. Now, Azra Rav Gavir mi Beit Kassel, Rav Gavir from Beit Kassel went and Amal Shmaita, he said over this statement of Rav Huna that said that although the bride says im nasa nasa, but you have to divorce her with a get, he said over Kamei de Rav Ashi. So later Rav Ashi said to him, Rav, Rabbi Yochanan, Damar Tavai, they both say the following halacha, which from that he says is seemingly a question on Rav Huna. They said that Begeres, a woman that's a Begeres, Umukas Eitz, a woman that was penetrated with something in the Makam Besulam, Lo Yisa. We said earlier that a Kohen Gadol cannot marry her because they're both not Besulam, they're not full virgins. V'nasa nasi. However, they said that if you married, then you're considered married. Now, Amo, what you obviously see from their halacha is that even though that the svara that they're saying is when a Kohen Gadol, who's he allowed to marry? A minor that's a besula, it's still a virgin. Now, but since Seifa Lies Begeris Tachtov, ultimately, when the Kohen Gadol gets married to this girl, she's going to get older. She's going to reach the age of Begeris, and the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to be married to Begeris. But that's okay because you're married already. Now, moreover, Seifa Lies Mukets Eitz Tachtov. Ultimately, this minor virgin that you're getting married to will ultimately be Mukets Eitz. In other words, he's going to have cohabitation with her, which means to say she's going to lose a besulam. And therefore, what essentially Rav and Birchner are saying is that, therefore, if you did go ahead and marry this Mukas Eitz or this Begeres, although you're not allowed to, it's considered a valid marriage because ultimately, even a regular valid girl will become that. So therefore, we see it's not so severe. So if you married it, you could maintain that marriage. And therefore, the question on Rav Huna's halacha is, here also that you could extend the same logic and say that when it says ve'im nasoi nasoi, that it says in the Braisa, it would sound like that, no, it's totally that you could maintain that marriage. And the reason is for the same svara that Rav and Rabbi Yechon had pointed out, And that is because since she's going to end up becoming a bu'ula to him when they finally have marital relations, and therefore, even that he violated, that he didn't take her in the state of basul, that she was a ba'ula, but the same logic that they had said with mukas aids and with begeres should apply to ba'ula. And therefore, the Gemara concludes kasha. This definitely seems to be a good question on Rav Huna about why does he qualify and say, but umaytzi beget, because you violated this halacha, it shouldn't be any different than what Rav and Bichlin said by begeres and mukas aids.